Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 and FY25 conference call hosted by EFC India Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will remain in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal the operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the call over to Mr. Ashish Tendulkar from MUFG Intime India Private Limited for opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Ryan. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. To discuss the business performance, we have from the management team Mr. Umesh Nahai, Chairman and MD, Mr. Nikhil Bhutta, Full-Time Director, Mr. Uday Vora, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Aman Gupta, Company Secretary. Before we proceed with this call, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risk and uncertainty. For more details, kindly refer to the investor presentation and other filings that can be found on the company's website and stock exchanges. With that, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Umesh Nahai for his opening comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Ashish. Ladies and gentlemen and fellow shareholders, hello. I welcome you all to the conference call to discuss the Q4 and full year FY25 result. It is with immense pride and gratitude that I stand before you today to share the remarkable performance of our company over the past year. This has truly been a landmark period in our journey, marked not only for strong financial results but also by strategic progress and unwavering commitment towards excellence. Our company has delivered stellar results, exceeding expectations across multiple dimensions. Revenue grew by 57%, reaching an all-time high of rupees 657 crores, and net profit increased by 122% to rupees 141 crores, reflecting our ability to execute our strategy effectively and efficiently. This performance is a direct outcome of our disciplined operation, customer-centric approach, and the tireless effort of our exceptional team. Our commitment to delivering long-term value remains firm and strong. We also continue to maintain a healthy balance sheet, enabling us to pursue future investment, innovation, and shareholder return from a position of strength. While we celebrate our success today, we are equally focused on the future. The environment remains dynamic and competitive, but with a clear vision and robust strategy and a culture of innovation and accountability, I am confident we will continue to lead the way real estate as a service sector is evolving and be the catalyst to the change. On behalf of the Board of Directors, I extend my sincere thanks to our dedicated employees whose passion and commitment fuel our success, our management team for their bold leadership and focus on execution, and you, your shareholder, for your continued trust and support. Together, we have achieved a stellar year, and together we will shape an even brighter future. Thank you. Thank you all. Ashish?
Hello. Mr. Nikhil Bhutta, you can please go ahead with your prepared remarks.
Right. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. I welcome you all to earnings call of EFC India Limited. Dear members, EFC operates as a real estate as a service company, a model built on three integrated business segments: managed office solutions, design and build, fit-out, turnkey contracting, and furnished manufacturing. This unique value proposition allows us to offer comprehensive real estate solutions, from tailor-made workspace solutions and tech-enabled office environments to commercial interior design and premium furniture products. Today, we can proudly say that our vision to build a fully integrated business model has truly evolved and has transformed into a complete ecosystem wherein each business vertical is complementing and then synergizing with others. Having said that, each of these verticals has developed their unique moat to be the leader in the respective verticals, while maximizing value for its investors and stakeholders. Under the managed office, the leasing business, as we say, we provide customized, scalable and fully furnished office solutions with comprehensive management and premium amenities. These are ideal for enterprises seeking long-term efficiency, privacy and control, as well as freelancers, startups and SMEs. We currently manage about 2.82 million square feet across 79 sites in about 9 cities with an average occupancy of 90% plus. Our strategically located facilities offer convenience and accessibility. In Q4 FY25, this segment contributed 56.8% to our revenue and 70% to our profit before tax. Now, under design and build division, we offer end-to-end interior solutions and turnkey contracting, where from concept to execution, creating aesthetically striking and functionally optimized office spaces. Our services include general contracting, project management, design and build, and MEP services. This segment accounted for roughly about 40% of our Q4 FY25 revenue and about 17% of our profit before tax. We have an order book of over rupees 200 crores and have designed more than 3.5 million square feet till date since inception. Under furniture division, we specialize in custom and ready-made high-quality furniture for diverse sectors, emphasizing thoughtful design, craftsmanship, and durability. We have ventured into furniture manufacturing with Egg Design Industries Limited and expanded our market presence through the acquisition of Digwaker Industries Private Limited. Our manufacturing capacity at present is about 275 to 300 crores in value terms, with a current order book of about 35 crores. Going forward, we will capitalize on the foundation laid down by us and strengthen it by owning or controlling assets through strategic resources and structures. With this, we eventually aim towards monetizing or leveraging the potential value of such assets. I thank you all for your continued support and faith in us, and we are genuinely committed to perform and deliver the best interest for our stakeholders. Thank you so much.
Mr. Uday Vora, please go ahead with your remarks.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. I am pleased to walk you through the financial highlights of EFC India Limited for the fourth quarter and full year ended March 31, 2025. Financial year 24-25 was a landmark year for us, a year marked by strong revenue growth and solid profitability. Our consolidated revenue from operations surged to 656.77 crores, a robust 56.5% increase from 419.86 crores in the previous year. This was driven by solid performances across rental, interior and furniture segment. Consolidated EBITDA improved significantly and our profit before taxes stood at 199.84 crores, an impressive 2.5 times increase year on year. PAT reached to 140.77 crores, a sharp rise from 63.5 crores in financial year 2024, representing a year-on-year growth of over 122%. The top line has increased by 126% comparing Q4 FY24 and Q4 FY25. The EBITDA and PAT has significantly shown improvement of 109% and 72% respectively for the same period. Our seats portfolio has increased to 60,000 plus seats for the financial year ending 2025. The rental revenue segment contributed to about 56.7% of the total revenue, while the design and build furniture and furniture segment stood to about 40.1% and 3.2% respectively. As we step into financial year 26, we are poised to accelerate our growth across new asset classes, optimize capital deployment, and leverage synergies across our expanding portfolio. Our focus remains on enhancing operational efficiency, deepening customer value in all our segments, driving shareholder value through sustainable financial discipline. In closing, I would like to thank our board, employees, investors, and partners for their continued trust and support. We are committed to delivering consistent performance and we look forward to the journey ahead with great confidence. Thank you.
So should we go ahead with the question and answer session?
Yes, please.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. For participants are requested to use their handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Sahil Sharma, an investor. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on a great set of numbers. My first question is, can you explain a little bit in detail about the design and build segment? What is the current order book visibility and whether there are any large order wins and, you know, typical execution of design and build contracts? Are we winning any, you know, large duration or large contracts? And also, you know, in general, execution timeline and also, you know, working capital and margins.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Sailvai. Yes, I mean, in the design and build vertical, we've been really doing good and we have really performed outstanding this financial year. Typically, as you understand, I mean, the design and build, once we get a contract, you know, there is obviously a process of bidding and then once we get the purchase order in place, the process starts from, you know, kind of finalizing on the designs. Once the designs are completed, we get into the BOQs. Once you get into the BOQs, BOM, and then we, you know, fix on the kind of execution timelines. And obviously, then the execution period starts kicks in. And then there is also a period, I mean, during the execution also, and also post execution. Obviously, the principal would come and kind of check the completeness and also the, you know, the specifications that they've given us to kind of deliver upon. And once the, you know, the snags are removed, the final payments, if there is any retention, which will be released to us. Now, typically this timeline, depending upon the nature of a contract, would vary from 0 to about 6 months, depending upon, like I said, the square footage that is to be developed. But let's say if I get it on a day one, there is about 10, 15 days, which gets into, you know, finalizing designing, approving on the BOQs, etc., because, you know, everybody would have their own specific requirement in terms of what kind of material to be used, which brands to be used, and so on and so forth. And accordingly, you know, that for the first 15, 20 days, that is what generally gets invested into kind of finalizing this matters. A lot of the customers have all this, some of these things already predefined, laid down. Then, you know, such timeline could be reduced also. And then comes the, you know, execution period. And as we know that we take pride in, you know, kind of doing a quick execution because, you know, as we have said in past, projects like 100,000 square feet, we have kind of delivered in terms of execution in 2 months' time. So that's how this entire period of execution, starting from contract winning to getting the final retention payment, runs through. Payments generally, as I'm mentioning, we receive on a milestone basis. So generally we get about certain percentage of advances. We also, depending upon the size of the contract, we also may have to give performance guarantees, which ranges from, you know, 5% to 10%, depending upon, again, the client, nature of contract. And then there are milestone-based payments which are released. And at the end, you know, there is some amount of retention, which is anything between 5 to 10% is retained by the customer to ensure that, you know, all the snags or all their expectations are met before we really do a complete handover. And that's how the payment milestone also works. Overall, in this segment, if you see, the credit period ranges from, you know, 45 to 60 days typically. And that is what we try to achieve and that is what we try to adhere to and not get it extended as long as we do right selection between the clients. You know, we are able to certainly execute this kind of timeline. In terms of overall margins, if I talk about, you know, our margins in this segment on an average ranges between 17 to 20, 22%.
I'm sorry, nothing.
So that depends again, like I said, about the nature of contract, you know, how much of percentage of design angle is involved, how much of execution is involved, because, you know, the more there are angles on the in the intellectual activities involved, obviously the margin improves. The services are there, more services, more margins would improve. And also, what kind of complexities are involved. Let's say if there is a project where we have to do kind of an R&D or a R&D center or a, let's say a laboratory where there's a specialized job is involved, and then obviously we'll be able to charge some better margins versus just developing a simple office infrastructure. So that's the kind of, that's how this entire vertical operates, Sahil. And in terms of order book, we have confirmed orders of 200 crore plus while we are talking in the first quarter of this new financial year. We have made an announcement already to that impact, that effect, that, you know, there is a large contract from an MNC client we have received for 183 crore. And obviously a few other contracts which we already have secured. So while in the first quarter itself we are sitting on an order book of 200 crore, obviously this order book will execute it over the period because, you know, this large contract of 183 crore will take its own time to kind of get fully executed during the year. And obviously all of this entire amount may not be accounted for in the first quarter itself, but it will be spread across the year. So that's how this entire segment has been performing, and we are, you know, we are really excited that this year also looks very promising. And as we mentioned, that we already have this 200 crore of order book in hand right now.
Thank you so much. My next question is on the, you know, strategic side of the business. We find DFC to be a very vertically integrated kind of a player. What is the, you know, strategy and thinking behind this vertical integration? We are present in furniture, design and build, office rentals. And, you know, are we thinking of any other integrations possible, maybe facilities management or, you know, leasing of like commercial spaces other than offices, anything that you are planning?
Sahil, देखिए इसमें अगर आप देखेंगे ना तो real estate as a service, we call ourselves real estate as a service company. So जब हम ये बात करते हैं तो हम लोग तीन चीजों को ड्राइव करते हैं. वन इज कि हम लीजिंग में भी हैं, हम डिजाइन एंड बिल्ड में भी हैं और हम फर्नीचर रेंटल में भी हैं. अगर आप देखा जाए तो real estate as a service स्टार्ट ही होता है फर्नीचर से. मतलब आप बिल्डिंग अगर आप लीज पे ले रहे हो तो बिल्डिंग किसी और का होता है, एक्सपेंसेस कहीं और के होते हैं, आपके पास बचता है फर्नीचर और फर्नीचर के ऊपर का मार्जिन जिसको आप सर्विसेज के साथ ऐड करते हो. तो जब हम लोग ने बिजनेस शुरू किया लास्ट 10 ईयर्स अगर हम लोग अपना लेगेसी देखें तो एक चीज समझ में आया कि ये बैकवर्ड और फॉरवर्ड इंटीग्रेशन का ही गेम है. जहां पे आप फर्नीचर, अगर फर्नीचर लाइन को आप ओन करोगे, डिजाइन एंड बिल्ड को भी आप ओन करोगे, एंड आफ्टर दैट ये क्लब करके जब आप उसको लीजिंग और सर्विसेज में दोगे तो डेफिनेटली आप मार्जिन में और ओवरऑल लाइन को कंट्रोल कर पाओगे. इवन आप देखिए मार्केट में हम लोग बैकवर्ड फॉरवर्ड इंटीग्रेशन में बहुत स्टार्ट से थे, बट आप अगर देखेंगे तो आने वाले टाइम में और अभी भी हमारे बहुत से कॉम्पिटिटर है वो इस लाइन को फॉलो कर रहे हैं और आई थिंक सेम लाइन और लेंथ पे भी डिस्कशन पे है. सो आई थिंक बैकवर्ड और फॉरवर्ड इंटीग्रेशन हमारे लिए इसलिए बिकॉज ये ओवरऑल बिजनेस का हमारे पास कंट्रोल आता है. एंड इसमें एक और था कि लाइक आप देखेंगे तो हम एसेट ओन्ड भी करते हैं. सो वो भी एक कहीं ना कहीं हमारे एक स्ट्रेटेजिक मूव है कि जहां पे हम लोग ये देखे कि मतलब डाउन द लाइन हमारे पास एक सब्सटेंशियल एसेट ओनरशिप पोर्टफोलियो हो. मतलब कल को ऐसा नहीं हो कि हम 10 साल बिजनेस चला और पता चला कि हम ये बोले कि हम एसेट लाइट है लेकिन हमने कुछ अचीव नहीं किया. सो दैट इन अ पैरेलल हम एक पर्टिकुलर सर्टेन उसमें एसेट भी बिल्ड करते जा रहे हैं. साहिल
नहीं, थैंक यू उमेश जी, आपने बहुत अच्छे से एक्सप्लेन किया. इसी से रिलेटेड ये भी है सर, हम एक्चुअली रीट भी लॉन्च करने वाले थे, वहां से हमें ओनरशिप में भी थोड़ी बैकवर्ड इंटीग्रेशन मिलेगी. आप सर थोड़ा एक्सप्लेन कर पाएंगे अभी रीट में क्या चल रहा है, लाइक कब तक लगभग होना चाहिए, इवन बॉल पार्क कुछ अगर टाइमलाइन आप बता पाए.
साहिल, रीट का हमको जो अप्रूवल आया था लास्ट ईयर धनतेरस के टाइम पे अक्टूबर मंथ में हमको रीट का अप्रूवल आ गया था. एंड आई थिंक हम लोग फर्स्ट है जो एज ए ऑपरेटर कोई रीट लेके आ रहा है. ज्यादातर रीट तो ट्रेडिशनल लीजिंग पे, लेकिन एज ए ऑपरेटर कोई रीट ऑपरेट नहीं कर रहा है. हमारा प्लानिंग है हम उसको बहुत सक्सेसफुल एग्जीक्यूट करें. आपका क्वेश्चन है कि हम कब लेके आ रहे हैं, उसमें एक है कि हमने हमारी जो प्रॉपर्टी आइडेंटिफाई उसमें लीगल डीडी चल रहा है, एंड वंस लीगल डीडी इज क्लियर तो शायद हम अनाउंस कर देंगे फॉर द आईपीओ प्रोसेस. वो पाइपलाइन में साहिल, बिकॉज रियल एस्टेट के साइज बड़े हैं तो हम लोगों के लिए वो लीगल और बाकी चीजों ड्यूलेंस पे चल रहा है, तो आई थिंक हम लोग जी जी बोली 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 साहिल जी,
ये हम एक्सपेक्ट कर सकते हैं कि इसी साल आ जाए FY 2026 में?
यस बिल्कुल 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 साहिल जी बिल्कुल,
ठीक है, थैंक यू सर, यही मेरा क्वेश्चन था, थैंक यू सर,
ओके थैंक यू साहिल,
थैंक यू. The next question comes from the line of Raghav from SVK Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thank you. First of all, congratulations on your stellar performance last year. I would like to start my questions from a very innate question and connected to Sahil's question. Why are we doing everything in-house where we see other players being very wallet light and then doing things, outsourcing things to other players? Why we are doing, is there any advantage to it? Like why we are doing everything in-house?
सर देखिए आपका जो क्वेश्चन है साहिल के से साहिल जी के क्वेश्चन से रिलेटेड, एवरीथिंग इन हाउस करने से एक बेनिफिट है कि आपके पास मार्जिन आपके कंट्रोल में रहते हैं, सप्लाई लाइन आपके कंट्रोल में रहता है, एंड आज की डेट में अगर देखिए हम लोगों के लिए मेन इन्वेंटरी क्या है, एसेट जनरली लीज पे होते हैं, सर्विसेज जनरली थर्ड पार्टी रहता है, हमारे पास बसता क्या है, हमारे पास बसता है फर्नीचर. सो अगर मैं फर्नीचर की बात करूं तो वो एक ऐसी चीज है कि अगर उसमें कोई सप्लायर 15% 20% या 25% के करीब अपना मार्जिन रख रहा है, और जो मुझे लगना ही है, मैं एवरी ईयर अगर देखा जाए, मैं कोई भी गाइडेंस दूं कि 10,000 सीट ऐड हो रही है, 15,000 है, 25,000, तो जब मैं बात करता हूं तो उतने वर्क स्टेशन ऐड होते, उतनी चेयर ऐड होती है, उतना डिजाइन एंड बिल्ड लगता है, और एवरी टाइम आप ये समझिए कि कोवर्किंग का बिजनेस ऐसा नहीं है कि आपने एक बार प्रोडक्ट बना लिया तो उसकी पूरी जर्नी में सेम मॉडल कॉपी होने वाला है. मतलब जो यूनिट अंदर है उसमें अल्ट्रेशन आता है. मेरा यूनिट अगर 50 सीट का बना है या 100 सीट का बना है, और कल को अगर SVK आता है और बोलता मुझे 500 सीट चाहिए, तो डेफिनेटली मुझे मल्टीपल यूनिट को ज्वाइन करना पड़ेगा. अब उसमें मैंने आज एक बार कैपेक्स लगा दिया, राइट, सपोज मैंने 2 करोड़ रुपए या 3 करोड़ रुपए का एक साइट पे खर्चा कर दिया, और 8 महीने बाद एक क्लाइंट आता है बोलता है कि भाई मुझे आप अल्ट्रेशन करके दो, तो डेफिनेटली मेरा कैपेक्स तो बढ़ गया वहां पे. अगर यही चीज मेरे कंट्रोल में है तो मैं डेफिनेटली मेरे पास कैपेक्स नहीं बने बढ़ेगा, मेरे पास एक लेबर कॉस्ट आएगा, हो सकता है मैं क्लाइंट पे डाल दूं कि सर कस्टमाइजेशन कॉस्ट दे दीजिए एंड बाकी चीज है. तो ये जो पूरा सप्लाई लाइन है, या जो आप इसको इन्वेंटरी लाइन बोल सकते हो, या व्हाटएवर जो भी आप वर्ड यूज करो, ये अगर कंट्रोल में रहेगा तो ही सर आप इस बिजनेस में प्रॉफिटेबल कर पाएंगे. सिर्फ सर्विसेज देके अगर आप सोचेंगे तो शायद कहीं ना कहीं डिफिकल्ट होगा. और मैं अर्लियर भी मैंने बोला है कि आप देखें तो इस चीज को बाकी लोग भी आज इस चीज को अंडरस्टैंड कर रहे हैं, हमारी इंडस्ट्री में बाकी लोग भी सेम और लाइन पे आ रहे हैं और बैकवर्ड और फॉरवर्ड इंटीग्रेशन को कंट्रोल कर रहे हैं. बिकॉज एंड ऑफ द डे आप देखिए हमारे पास फाइनली बचता क्या, हमारे पास फर्नीचर ही बचता है, बाकी चीजें तो चलो एसेट लाइट के नाम पे आप थर्ड पार्टी को दे सकते हैं. यस सर, यस सर,
मैं समझ रहा हूँ, लेकिन इससे हमारा प्रोडक्ट, हमारा ऑफरिंग केपेक्स हैवी हो जाता है, तो क्या मैं पूछ सकता हूँ आपसे कि हमारा केपेक्स नहीं दिया है FY 2026 के लिए?
सर देखिए मैं आपके क्वेश्चन को दो पार्ट में करूंगा. पहले तो आप जो बोल रहे हैं कैपेक्स हैवी हो जाता है, वो जनरली नहीं होता, कि बहुत से केसेस में जब हम प्रॉपर्टी लीज पे लेते हैं तो हम जनरली फिटेड आउट डील करते हैं, मतलब बट वार्म शेल प्लस फिट आउट, तो उसमें जनरली जो कैपेक्स आता है वो जनरली लैंडलॉर्ड की तरफ से आता है, तो हमारी बुक्स पे वो कैपेक्स हैवी नहीं होता. बट एट द सेम टाइम हमारे पास सप्लाई चेन कंट्रोल है तो मैं रेंटल्स को ड्राइव कर सकता हूँ. आप ये देखिए अगर आप लैंडलॉर्ड है सर, तो आप मुझे क्या बोलोगे, मैं आपसे पूछता हूँ कि सर मुझे आप एक बिल्डिंग फर्निश दे दीजिए, तो आप मुझे बोलोगे कि ठीक है भाई मेरा 50 रुपए बेयरशेल का रेट है और फर्निश का 80 रुपए है, तो 30 रुपए जो ऊपर बढ़ रहा है वो कहीं ना कहीं आप मुझसे ड्राइव करवाओगे. ऐसा नहीं है कि मैं इटालियन मार्वल लगवा लूं हर जगह पे. सो कहीं ना कहीं आप बोलोगे यार हर 100 रुपए इन्वेस्टमेंट के पीछे मैं 1.5-2 या 2.5 रुपए मैं इन्वेस्ट करूंगा, तो आपका जो रेंटल है वो उसी इन्वेस्टमेंट से ड्राइव होगा. जनरली फर्निश इन्वेस्टमेंट वैसी होता है, और अगर आपके पास सप्लाई कंट्रोल है तो आप बोल सकते हो लैंडलॉर्ड को सर मैं 1250 रुपए में बनाऊंगा, ये मेरा डिजाइन है. तो वहां पे मुझे मेरे दो चीज है, मेरा जो लैंडलॉर्ड है उसको भी वैल्यू एड होना चाहिए कि भाई ये मेरा जो ऑपरेटर है जिसको मैं जगह दे पे दे रहा हूँ ये इफिशियंट है, क्योंकि अगर ऑपरेटर नहीं कमाएगा तो लैंडलॉर्ड भी नहीं कमाएगा. एंड सेकंड पॉइंट इज कि मैं क्लाइंट एंड पे भी है, आप अगर हमारा देखेंगे तो हमारा जो ऑफरिंग है वो 6,500 से 7,500 के बीच में है। एंड हमारा जो एक दूसरा प्रोडक्ट है स्प्रिंट, आप अगर देखेंगे तो वो बहुत ही वाइब्रेंट डिजाइन है एंड उसमें हमको बहुत अच्छा रिस्पॉन्स है जो हमने 2.5 साल पहले से शुरू किया। सो वो हम वो भी देख रहे हैं कि हम इफेक्टिव इन्वेस्टमेंट में और इफेक्टिव कैपेक्स पे हम कैसे वैल्यू एड दें हमारे क्लाइंट को। जी तो जरूरी है। सॉरी सर
दूसरा पार्ट था आपका कि कैपेक्स का नीड क्या है अपना FY26 में।
मैं वो निखिल जी को बोलूंगा सर।
सो कैपेक्स एज उमेश एक्सप्लेन दैट कैपेक्स रिक्वायर्ड एट आवर एंड इज प्रीटी लो बिकॉज generally the in the leasing business all the capex which is largely required is in the building up the property, building up the place that we are taking on lease. When I say building up, basically interior design and the fit out related activities that we have to cover. Now since most of our leases which we take from the landlord are financed for the fit out related activity by the landlord only, so the the amount of kind of capex that is to be incurred is very insignificant. But if you look at overall on an average basis, let's say if I am on an average leasing out on an annual basis about 20 to 25,000 seats, my capex is about 50,000 rupees per seat, and let's say around 10% thereof is something that we kind of we invest ourselves. And that too in a situation where we have a very long visibility on our customer end. So if you look at, let's say, 25,000 seats, we talk about around 10% thereof. So that's about 2,500 seats multiplied by 50,000 per seat. That is the kind of capex that outlay that we probably would require to carry out in the in a particular financial year. That is relating to leasing business. With regards to the the design and build business, as you could appreciate that that's a contracting business, so obviously the investment there is hardly anything in the capex side because there is no plant and machinery etc. that is to be required. And on the furniture side also, if you would appreciate that in the furniture business, machinery equipments are obviously integral part, and we already made substantial investment thereof. And this financial year, we are not looking at any further investment as of now. Obviously, there will be, certain not major, but certain machineries which will be required depending upon some different types of or requirements to be addressed for different clients. But no such major capex that we are looking even in the furniture vertical. So that's the overall capex outlay that we are looking for this financial year for our all the three verticals, sir.
Thank you so much, Mr. Nikhil and Ms. Homesh. My last question is around, you mentioned that you have around 6,500 to 7,000 per seat right now. Whereas I see a market beyond this, and can we expect any improvement beyond this range, 6,500 to 7,000? Can we expect an improvement in this?
Definitely, sir. Look, here are two points. पॉइंट इस ये एक है कि हम लोग 6,500 से 7,500 रुपए पर सीट पे हैं और मार्केट उससे ज्यादा है, राइट। सो इसमें दो चीजें सर कि धंधा दो तरह से होता है, मेरा ऐसा मानना है कि एक मार्जिन पे कर लीजिए और या वॉल्यूम पे कर लीजिए। तो हमारा एक चीज बोलना है कि लेट्स सपोज कि मैं मेरा सिटिंग कैपेसिटी को 60 या 70% पे ऑपरेट करूं, एंड डाउन द लाइन अगर मैं बात देखूं तो एक चीज होती है एवरेज रेवेन्यू पर सीट पर ईयर कितना है। आज अगर मैं मेरी सीट को बहुत एक्सपेंसिव कर दूं और मैं बोलूं कि ठीक है मैं तो 8,000 या 9,000 या 10,000 रुपए में सीट बेच रहा हूं, एंड उसके बाद मुझे पता चले कि मेरा ऑक्यूपेंसी 60-70% पे है, तो सर आप एक चीज देखिए कि तो मैं हो सकता है देखने के लिए मैं बड़ा नंबर देखूंगा, लेकिन अगर मैं इन होलिस्टिक टर्म्स देखूं तो मेरा एवरेज 6,500 से 7,500 ही आएगा। बिकॉज हमारा ऐसा मानना है कि हमारे अगर आप सेंटर देखे जाए तो 90% पे ऑपरेट करते हैं। सो 90% पे अगर मैं ऑपरेट करता हूं तो मेरा जो प्राइस बैंड है 6,500 से 7,500 रुपए वो एक बड़ा कैचमेंट क्रिएट करता है। इट मींस आप हमारा अगर क्लाइंट प्रोफाइल देखिए, स्टार्टअप भी हमारे पास आता है। अगर आपने एक सपना देखा है नया स्टार्टअप डालने का तो आपको फ्लैट से कंपनी स्टार्ट करने की जरूरत नहीं है। हम आपको कांच की बिल्डिंग में बैठाएंगे और बेस्ट सर्विस देंगे, वहां से आप बिजनेस स्टार्ट कर सकते हो। लार्ज कॉर्पोरेट की बात करूं तो लार्ज कॉर्पोरेट भी है, ये बिकॉज सर कैचमेंट एरिया बड़ा है, हो सकता है कंपनी के लिए 10,000 नहीं हो। और सेकंड एक और है सर, आप देखिए कि हमारी इंडस्ट्री में या किसी में भी अगर मैंने 5 दिन सीट खाली रखी तो सर इस लाइफ में वो 5 दिन का रेंटल नहीं ऐड होने वाला है, वो कहीं ना कहीं इंपैक्ट करेगा एवरेज रेवेन्यू पर सीट पर ईयर पे। तो हमारा ये मानना है कि 6,500 से 7,500 रुपए जो अभी तक हम फिलोसफी पे लेके आए, पहले हमारा कम था, आप देखे तो हम 5,500 से 6,500 थे कुछ सालों पहले, फिर धीरे धीरे ग्रेजुअली बढ़ाया है। हमारा जो स्प्रिंट प्रोडक्ट है आप अगर देखेंगे तो बहुत हाई एंड है, बहुत एडवांस है, एंड उसका ब्रांडिंग भी हमने बिल्कुल एक वाइब्रेंट किया है कि स्प्रिंट, आप कलर थीम देखेंगे तो वहां पे डेफिनेटली हम ग्रेजुअली रेंटल्स को बढ़ा रहे हैं। एंड मतलब बढ़ाने के पीछे ये कि हम उसके बाद सर्विसेज भी इंप्रूव कर रहे हैं, बट एट द सेम टाइम हमारा फिलोसफी यही है कि हम हमारे जो कैचमेंट एरिया है या मेरा जो कस्टमर सेगमेंट है या कस्टमर प्रोफाइलिंग है, मुझे उसको हैम्पर नहीं करना है। मतलब आप अगर आपको एक ऑफिस देखना है तो आप बोलो भाई मुझे कहीं नहीं मिला तो मैं ईएफसी या स्प्रिंट में जाऊं तो मुझे मेरे बजट में मिलेगा, और हम कमिटेड है कस्टमाइज करने में एज पर क्लाइंट रिक्वायरमेंट। ये है सर।
थैंक यू सो मच, nice analogy, and I am happy that you are strategic about your pricing. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
The next question comes from the line of Manar, an investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, good morning. So I just wanted to understand ki in the furniture division, what kind of capex have we done and what kind of asset turnover we are targeting? And what is the current utilization we are right now at? And definitely we have told about our order book, but what kind of visibility or any significant order wins we would like to talk? And also if you would like to talk about what kind of market we are strategically trying to enter. So everything about, you know, the furniture division, if you can just talk about that.
Surely. On the furniture division, in terms of capex, you know, we have in totality we have invested about 15 to 20 crore rupees, which has gone into obviously creating, setting up the plant and machineries, you know, getting all the, you know, all the, and getting it completely compliant with all the applicable standards, etc. In terms of total capacity, you know, at this plant and with the kind of infrastructure that we have kind of laid down, we are in a position to kind of, you know, in value terms, do a business of about 275 crore to 300 crore. Obviously, at this point of time, because we just started off last year in the middle of the year, and obviously the three, four months took time in terms of getting our product range established, getting them, you know, accepted at the client's end, and then obviously start creating the pipeline, order pipeline, and then start executing them. Because in this one hand is to create an order pipeline, and another is obviously to execute and deliver this product. Because, you know, once you create a product pipeline, obviously that itself is a process where, you know, we need to get the design for a particular product approved, you know, get the product, you know, BOQ, BOM in place, and then the entire thing gets into the production. Now, production obviously, again, if a client requirement is of a specific type of wood or specific type of metal, then obviously there will be a lead time involved in sourcing those products, and then once the product comes in, and then the conversion which will kicks in, and obviously the logistics involved depending upon at which location the client is located. So that entire cycle, obviously, from an order, creating an order pipeline to execution to delivery, is a process depending upon the sizes, depending upon the locations, depending upon the product requirement, that varies significantly. In terms of market that we are trying to enter, yes, in terms of industries, we are obviously one of the industries that we are clearly focused is obviously on the office infrastructure, which is the modular furniture that we talk about. Then we obviously are also have recently you would have seen our announcement that we have kind of created premium sitting systems where premium sofas and premium chairs that we have started marketing, and we are trying to cater to that segment as well. We also cater to the hospitality segment. We also cater to the education segment because, you know, those are the segments which are also doing great in terms of the businesses overall. Apart from that, in terms of the domestic market, we obviously are available to supply across India, and we are taking more B2B business in at least whichever locations, and primarily to the major cities of this country, but also wherever there are any large orders which we can really tap onto. Also, independently, we are looking at exploring the Middle Eastern export market, because that's also quite significant their requirements, their design tastes are quite different, and as long as we can build those abilities, we will be able to create a very niche segment for ourselves, and we'll be able to really add huge in terms of the margins concerned, because today the kind of specific products that are been asked for by the Middle Eastern market are very unique requirements. And fortunately, we've been able to forge a partnership with a group in Middle East, where they are acting as our marketing partner. And in fact, I would like to also update you that we have got a significant contract from a resort company in the Middle East, for whom we are going to deliver this furniture, which is valued roughly around 25 crore rupees. And that's the kind of contracts we are expecting to get repeated, because once our acceptability, once our products are kind of established and accepted in the market, even in the Middle Eastern segment, we will be able to kind of improve substantially on our turnover and also on our margins. So that's broadly about this segment, and we are expecting that in this segment this year itself we should be able to achieve 50% to 60% capacity utilization going forward, the way we are anticipating the businesses either domestically or from the international market. I hope I've answered your questions.
My next question was slightly outside of the business operation. And what I would like to really appreciate about the management as well, the newsletter initiative which we have started, I think, which most investors are not aware of. And what caught my eye there was the kind of ESG initiatives which we are taking, and, which feels very good to see at this organization level. So anything, if you would just like to touch upon that, if we are likely to continue this and the kind of things we are, looking going forward. Yeah, that's it from my side, and congratulations on a good setup.
Absolutely. No, thank you so much for noticing that. And it is really encouraging in that sense. But yes, I mean, we are committed to the, obviously the society environment, and obviously ensuring the highest level of governance at our organization. And that should be in a motto of any organizations. And we are, but specifically under the vision of our MD, we are very clear that, the environment related activities or the social contribution that needs to go from our organization needs to be at its best, including the corporate governances. So we, number one, obviously, we are, since under the SEBI regulations, we are now guided to kind of submit our sustainability report, because we are under top 1,000 listed companies. And as per the SEBI regulations, we are supposed to submit our sustainability report, which will be part of this year's annual report, which will get published. And we have created our in-house ESG team internally, which is working tirelessly to kind of ensure that how do we, create a sustainable business model wherein we are able to kind of, reduce our carbon footprint, and also bring a lot of diversity in our organization work culture, and also bring an utmost level of corporate governance. So I think we are committed to this, and the way our businesses are growing under all the three verticals, we are ensuring our best that we kind of go and kind of achieve the best ESG practices and compliances as much as possible. Going forward, as our MD was explaining about, the acquisition of more and more properties, so we would obviously ensure that we'll get these properties green building certifications, and, get them the necessary such ESG compliances which is required for doing such businesses. So, yes, that's our commitment to the society and our stakeholders.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Deepak from TVSAN Capital Fund Team. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Deepak. I'm representing TVSAN Capital, a category 3 AIF. We actively track special situation and growth-oriented opportunities in listed space. At the outset, I would like to congratulate EFCT on delivering a stellar set of results for FY24-25. The performance do reflect the strong execution and the strategic clarity. I'll taking the opportunity to ask you question to better understand the key drivers behind this impressive performance. I would request you, can you walk us through the key drivers behind the company's revenue and margin? Explain how the company is differentiating itself from emerging competitors like flexible work and other asset-like infrastructure companies.
So, no, thank you so much, Deepakji. And yes, I mean, I would certainly take you through the drivers that is really, as our MD explained, first and foremost driver is our business model, because, you know, the way we have created this business as an integrated business model where we are trying to and we are able to retain the margins at different functions which are very critical in execution of this business. So when we say the critical functions is the design and build activity, the furniture requirements, when we are able to kind of maintain these businesses within our group entities, we are able to kind of capture those margins which otherwise would have been distributed to the other stakeholders who could have been our kind of vendors or our suppliers. So that is one big driver that is really helping us to kind of improve our margin, ensure that we consistently are able to perform with the right kind of margin profile. Secondly, particularly if I talk about the leasing business, you know, one of the most critical and important thing is the way you lease the property and at the price at which you kind of get in. And that is a very critical step that one has to be aware about, because, you know, once you lock in a property at a particular pricing, there is nothing much you can do in terms of that particular cost, which is generally about 40 to 50% of your total revenue. So under such circumstances, it is very necessary that, number one, selecting the right location, and number two, selecting and getting that at the right pricing. So that is a very, very strong strategy that from day one, since our inception for more than a decade now, that our acquisition team under the guidance of our MD is very focused about. Because, you know, in any organizations, it is easy to go cost overrun, cost overboard. But unless you really control this aspect, it is very difficult to kind of maintain margins. And hence, you know, we generally get into a, you know, kind of strategies where we try to identify a good micro market, upcoming micro market, you know, kind of tap the potential properties which are going to come up over the years there, and kind of go at an early stage and book those properties and kind of be part with those developers, so that you know that, you know, this micro market is developing. In that, these are the premium buildings which are coming up, and these buildings from a locational point of view is making a lot of sense, and that's why we close that and kind of come at a very early stage, so that we are able to get at a very good price level when it comes to, you know, identifying and selecting the property. And this is primarily with regards to the way we operate in the leasing business. These are a few of the drivers in the leasing business, as I was explaining. On the design and build, you know, obviously the most important aspect, because it's a contracting business, is the control over your cost. And you probably have seen that, and we have demonstrated that time and again, that we are absolutely second to anybody in terms of the way our cost controls are there in the design and build infrastructure development is concerned. So we are able to even develop a particular office infrastructure at about, you know, 1,250 rupees per square feet, including sometimes our margin, and we are able to, you know, maintain this consistently despite, you know, the inflation impact and other related impact which is, you know, which has to be taken care or considered over the years. And the furniture industry, as you know, that we are young to that, but we have really made significant you know, kind of impact there. And one of the important things that we have been able to achieve, and we really invite you to come and see the facility. We are really proud to present our facilities to our investors, our stakeholders, when everybody sees the kind of infrastructure that has been created in terms of size, in terms of quality of equipment, that is machinery which has been laid down there, and the quality of product that could be created there, and the quality of designs and the creativity involved around those creating designs is phenomenal. And we are really, you know, kind of, you know, seeing that as a lot of, you know, growth the potentials in those industries as well. You know, and if you see, as our MD mentioned, that our vision to create this integrated business model is becoming a way forward for our even all the industry competitors or even the players in this industry, I have started realizing that if they want to make a sustainable business model around this industry and make a sustainable profit and sustainable margins in this industry, this is the way, this is an integrated way, this is a way that you need to create an ecosystem, and unless otherwise you carry this out, it is very difficult to maintain this sustainable margins, which is what we have been kind of able to and we'll be able to deliver upon. I hope we have been able to answer your question, sir.
Yeah, that was really insightful. My next question was on what is an average rent per seat for new center and we can we expect the improvement in the seat. I believe you have already answered this question. So can you throw some light on the current capacity utilization across the core assets with respect to seats?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, I mean, as we have always mentioned that our average capacity utilization is about 90% plus. And, you know, all our core assets at this point of time are operating at 90% plus capacity. And that's the kind of, you know, like our MD explained earlier in the call, that, you know, our focus is always to ensure that the occupancy level is at the highest. And we are more focused on, you know, kind of achieving that average rental per seat on at the highest possible level. As you know, our MD explained that the you know rent per seat is anything between 6,500 to 7,500, depending upon location, depending upon area, etc. And you know, I mean, we are significantly improving the seat rates. And today, if you see average on an average, the current at the period we see that the seat rates are beyond 7,000 rupees. And we are able to easily achieve anything around 7,000 to 7,500 and also to the range of about 8,000 rupees. Again, like I said, depending upon the location. But yes, that's the kind of ranges that we are able to achieve and, you know, kind of consistently perform upon.
Yeah. Thank you. My next question is a bit towards on the financials with respect to what is the current debt equity mix? Are there any plans to raise any further capital either in the form of debt or equity, and what's the working capital cycle and does it have any impact on the cash flow? Are we working towards improving the working capital cycle to improve the cash flow?
Absolutely. At present, in terms of the capital raise, certainly we are not looking at any capital raise because, you know, we are still maintaining a healthy debt equity ratio. It's just about 0.335%. And we still have a leverage potential there. While, as I've explained, that there is no great amount of capex that we are looking to be incurred even this financial year. So the largely whatever capital that may be required would be towards the working capital only. So certainly we are not looking at raising any capital. Debt, like I said, it would depend upon the working capital requirement and in the design and build vertical in particular and even the furniture business vertical in particular. You know, there are requirements in terms of performance guarantees. There are requirements in terms of giving retention guarantees, and hence we may require to have those kind of non-fund limits that is to be availed from a working capital requirement point of view. In terms of, so that's primarily the kind of, the outlay that we are looking at. Have I answered your question on that, sir?
It was, so you answered the question with respect to current and debt. I think I needed, can you throw some light with respect to working capital cycle, what we have and...
Sorry, I missed that question. But yes, on the working capital cycle, on the leasing business, you know, it's obviously, you know, we actually receive the rentals in advance and but obviously there are obviously client mix which pays over a particular month. So depending upon if you look at the overall cycle, it ranges around 15 to 20, 25 days from the leasing business. While if you look at the furniture business and the design and build business, that ranges between 45 to 60 days. You know, that is the kind of period that we ensure to maintain. In fact, we have been improving this credit period to a large extent because, you know, when we started off last year, you know, we had to take certain, you know, not the, you know, the best size or optimal size projects And you know, and when you don't take those optimal size projects, there is always a likelihood that your customers who may not be so credit worthy able to pay you on time, there may be some delays, there may be some, you know, changes in their business plans and so on and so forth, and that affects your cash flow. But at least now with the kind of order book that we are maintaining and the kind of clientele that we are serving upon, we are ensuring that our credit cycle doesn't cross beyond 45 to 60 standard days, and that is also can be witnessed in the kind of trade receivable which are outstanding today against my total turnover, which is not beyond 15%. So I think you know, that would certainly help us in improving my cash flow and hence obviously my overall requirement towards my working capital, etc. Sir,
my next question is more towards strategy, wherein what the bifurcation to own and lease properties, and what's the strategy going forward? Are we going to focus more on our own premises, or is it going to be a lease and further sublease? And what are the margins margin differentiating between these two properties? That if I have my own property, what kind of margin with respect to the cost of capital? Whereas with respect to the other business model of other satellite companies, how do we differentiate ourselves in that?
Ladies and gentlemen, we have lost the line of the management. Please stay connected while I reconnect the management. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the management reconnected. Deepak sir, if you can please re-ask your question. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. You don't need to repeat. I'm really sorry. There's some disconnection. But like I was explaining that, you know, we are looking at the strategy of acquiring properties either on our books or through financial structures which are plausible to gain control over these properties. Currently, we own around 250,000 square feet, which if you look at it from in our overall portfolio, just about 10% of the total portfolio that we have under management, area under management. So you know, that's the current status, sir. And in terms of going forward, yes, we will be looking at acquiring good properties, you know, where we can really create value for our shareholders. When I say that, in terms of, you know, we'll acquire properties where there is potential to obviously, you know, convert them into a grade A properties and then kind of, you know, create a leasable, make them leasable and create a rental income and hence the rental yield, which is better than what is offering in the market. So obviously that is a strategy going forward, and depending upon our you know, the our financial permits, we will acquire properties either on our books or we will also, like I said, acquire through the financial structures like REIT, etc., so that we are able to kind of increase the asset under management from an ownership perspective directly and indirectly to a larger extent. And that's the plan going forward. In terms of differences in the margins, if you see, obviously, you know, one, the leasing model is purely a service model where naturally our margins are earned on our efficiencies, on the services that we provide, efficiency which we build on either in the, you know, providing the low capex infrastructure and also providing the furniture at the right pricing, etc., and the services that we offer, you know. So the such margins, as we typically discussed in our leasing business, on an EBITDA level, we make about on an average 30% in the pure leasing businesses. Now in that business, if you see, around 45 to 50% is the cost which goes towards the rental payments. So now naturally, if the property is owned by me, those rental payments will not require to be paid by me to the landlord, and hence that margin would increase by that percentages from 30, it would increase to, let's say, anything about 75 to 80%, depending upon a particular property locations again and the value at which we've been able to acquire such properties. Certainly when you acquire a property, there is a cost of capital which is involved, and if you look at in today's terms, you know, if you look at a commercial property, you know, ideally these are all traded at a rental yield of anything between 8.25%. And under our business model, if we, you know, run these properties under the managed office business model, we are able to generate safely around 12%. and that is the delta that we are able to generate, and that's why also we are contemplating not just acquiring, so acquire it through structures like REIT, so where we can make our REIT investors also beneficial, that entire structure, and also our EFC investor beneficial, because we are able to create those deltas, and those delta could be shared between these two investors, depending upon the capital put in by us, either as a company at EFC level or as well by the REIT investors at the REIT level. So that's broadly how the margins would split, that broadly how the margin would look like, sir, under both this, under both these scenarios, and that's the strategy going forward. Yes, sir.
Deepak, sir, your question is being answered.
Thank you. That was quite helpful. I just have one last question with respect to what are the revenue and the growth guidance for FY 2025-2026, and which sector do you think, or which segment do you think would be the biggest contributor over the period of next two to three years? That's my last question. Thank you.
No, thank you, sir. I mean, in terms of obviously the exact guidelines, you know, as you know, we are in a growth phase, and, you know, it is the entire, all the three verticals are really evolving very fast and quickly. So I would broadly tell in terms of, you know, what are the targets that we have in terms of under each division. So as you know that, we are looking at adding anything between 20,000-25,000 seats in the leasing business going forward at an average rate, anything between 6,500-7,000 rupees rental and maintaining 90% occupancy. So that's primarily I can say on the leasing business. On the design and build business, we have already explained that we have a current order book of 200 crore in hand. And as we have, you know, in past explained that we are certainly expecting under this business to grow at least by 60% to 70% year-on-year. And we are very confident, and looking at the situation, we should be able to outgrow our expectation this year. But yes, that is the kind of overall, you know, kind of target that we are looking at. And in terms of furniture business, as I've explained, that, you know, the total capacity in value terms is about 275-300 crores, and we are looking at achieving anything around 50% to 60% capacity utilization this financial year. So that's broadly the overall targets and the guideline that we are looking at. We will be able to give more specific numbers probably in the coming quarters, you know, once, because, you know, at this point of time, since all these businesses are evolving so fast, I think the best would be to come little closer to the second half of the year, and we'll be able to, you know, come, you know, more specific in terms of numbers. But that's broadly what I can say in terms of what we are trying to achieve under all these three verticals.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to paucity of time, that was the last question, and we conclude the question and answer session. On behalf of EFC India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.